scream at you then.
Believe in click it or tick it.
Simply click it or tickable. This is a song we all wrote in fifth grade. This is Pete Mutino. Welcome to Click It or Tick It.
You guys, downloading this podcast. This podcast just, it's just irresistible. You have to download it.
I can't. Nick, are you talking?
All I can hear is Huey Lewis. I can't hear any.
So this is the best cast.
No, Glenn, you sound the best you've ever sounded.
Thank you.
The proof is irrefutable.
You sound like a full synth band with Huey Lewis. You sound like the news and...
Yeah, well, this is my new variety show.
There
Ryan,
we are.
You're turning me way, way up.
Now I can hear you.
And I was turning way, way down.
Ryan is doing his favorite game where he plays with the levels like a lot in the middle of the cast.
This is what the Hunger Games was based on.
All right, leave the levels alone. Turn me down a little bit and then leave the levels alone. That's me, right there.
Oh, yeah, that's
there we go. Turn me down a little bit. Perfect. Fantastic.
Hunger Games.
As I heard Glenn, I was down the hall and I heard Glenn going, faggot. Faggot, faggot. And I was like, either Glenn's testing the mic levels or he's reading his manifesto to somebody.
No, I did that once, but usually it's that's how I test the mic.
We actually have kind of a live studio audience here. We have like
I'm trying to ignore
people.
You guys.
It's an eclectic mix.
No, this is an intercom that we used to talk to each other.
Well, they're all in the sort of the waiting room above our bunker trying to get in.
What's the point of having tin cans of string?
On bunker's door. Hey, hey, say our friends.
That's yeah. Not Huey Lewis.
Hey, welcome back to Click It or Ticket.
We're all pals here.
We are all pals.
I listened to the Rick the Brick cast the other day at work, and they were fantastic.
I like that you're doing an advertisement
for
this our other
be
podcast.
Yeah, this where we talk about past casts and how great they
I
were.
I wish we had like one of those like sort of they're like chimes or sort
what
of
are
like
your guys
or harp.
Cast?
I wish we had a harp to be like woo, woo, and they would like
fade that one time.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys.
Yeah, and then we could fade away to other episodes.
And the drops aren't working.
And then
we had 18. Count them, 18 hot harp. Drops.
You guys remember our past selves and how they could be doing all the heavy lifting right now?
They really could have. I'm constantly counting on my past self to do the heavy lifting. It's funny because my past self isn't that strong, but now I'm funny and strong.
No, that's weird. Yeah, past P was emaciated and at one point in college, freshman year, turned green.
I did turn green.
My mom was like, you know your friend Pete is fucking green, right?
And you're like, what a bitch. I thought you liked the Grinch, bitch. Because that's like,
I was like,
to his mom.
Skinny Hulk. And then like smashed her head into a wall. It was fucking awesome.
We were really hardcore. Once again, heavy lifting, yeah. Past selves.
Well, yeah, it was
circle.
Just, she came, it was like 8 in the morning and she like turned on the lights and we were just like floor punching in the dark there all night. You know, we were really hardcore. We scattered like floor punching roaches.
And it's the same shit now, except I'm not green. I am very much white. Very much.
Yeah, she said your friend Pete had painted himself green. That's exactly what it was. Yeah, your skin.
Your friend Pete painted himself green. That kid is really fucking hardcore. Keep hanging out with him.
Yeah, seriously.
Rock
you're
on.
Gonna make the scene. Like you guys, your scene points going way up.
Exactly.
Well, then she really like pastored Glenn to introduce him to you at the hardcore show that your band played.
Yeah, remember
afterwards.
Well, all our bands played.
And then
that.
She
right.
bought all that merch from you.
I mean, that's how you really win
back.
At a hardcore show.
Three of us were all in rival hardcore bands, and that's how we all met up.
Click It or Ticket is a really complicated acronym for like all of our combined
Nick,
bands.
What was
I'm
your
actually,
band name?
I'm actually Glenn Danzig.
come back to me. Come back to me.
Okay, I was Petey Pete and the Floor Punchers with lead singer Eric LaMonica.
My band was called X Up before the show. X Up before the show. And then people really liked it because they were like, oh, man, I can't wait to see X Up before the show while they were Xing up before the show. It was like one of those.
Well, mine was
one of those neat little things.
Mine was a straight edge hardcore band. It was how could you put that shit, parentheses, in your body? And
And, because you can't swear.
And then we had the Beanox LP where it
right. I remember the Beanox LP.
It encourages kids to make smart choices, like not doing drugs, not doing drinking, getting involved with music, and punching people in the fucking mouth with brass knuckles, because that's better for you than
Beanox.
Drinking.
Now, the only reason I renamed my hardcore band is because mine was, how could you put that shit in parentheses, Eric LaMonica in your body, where I'm just calling out to him.
He's going
to
be here in like a
he
couple
is.
Days,
we
right?
should be hearing some
Wait,
more.
Wait, doesn't he arrive like tomorrow?
You want to be a deer and open gonna... that window? I just needed to say it like that. I'm sorry. I can't help
that
myself.
Was, hey, look, that's like I said, after I worked at the Mead School, I started asking, you ask kids to do things a certain way a lot of the time, where it's like, hey, could you do me a huge favor? Do you want to take care of that? Thanks. And you start doing that to normal people, and it's fucking, you realize you're doing it. And then you wind up doing a podcast with your friends from high school.
Your best pals, your only friends in the entire world.
And your life is a waste, and you wonder how you got to this fucking
and
point.
And you trudge to and from work every day, Flanders contemplating just like sticking your head into traffic.
Yeah, every time you
or
get
just
on.
Like opening a manhole cover and just diving down it like it's into a pool, but you know there's not a pool.
There's no
down
pool there.
There's
no
pool.
There's no pools here.
There's no inflatable toys. There's no noodles.
Inflatable?
You know?
There
inflatable,
was,
inflatable.
There was a moment
inflatable.
Where Pete mentioned like,
not floatable.
We were walking down the street and we saw like one of those. I don't know if for listeners who aren't in New York City or those who have been but know what I'm talking about, but fuck
the
you
listeners
anyway.
Listeners will survive
you know how, like,
an epidemic
any
like a plague or a zombie invasion. Yeah.
Any basement in front of a storefront that has like those two big metal doors that close up and they open them up and there'll be like a staircase down to the cellar.
Yes.
Those will be open on the sidewalk. But you're like walking past one and he made some sort of like corny joke or some shit, and then he made some sort of gesture as if he was gonna run and like throw himself face first down this like 10-foot drop.
Yeah, just like full on.
Oh, we should tell
him
about our gag at work that we every day.
Yeah, Glenn and I work at the same fine establishment in New York.
Buy food from us,
and that's the slogan of where we work.
Let us touch your food.
Anyway, but like you have to cross the street to smoke. It's company policy, et cetera, et cetera. And it's kind of a busy street, and there are always cabs and trucks going by.
Cash cab.
The joke started was we...
Yeah, you were standing
like one of us will be
street,
across
yeah.
the street, and the joke is you make dead eye contact with the person across the way. Right as a car is coming, you say, like, for instance, I'd be like, goodbye, Glenn. And then you, like, pantomime swan diving in front of the cab or whatever.
But the joke is that you, like, dive in front of the cab and then it hits you. It's not like you just, like, dive into the cab. Like,
oh, yeah.
You get, like, run over. Like,
every time your head goes flying off and then, like, the eyes.
Oh, and your
like,
head is always, the eyes are always making the eye contact with
the friend.
The head is spinning through the
and then, like, the, like, the head make,
oh,
like,
oh,
has
that's
its tongue
was,
out and it,
oh,
like,
yeah.
starts kissing you. And yeah, you're like, oh, shit, oh, shit. And you're, like, crying, but also, like, really upset.
Remember we had that physics discussion where if your entire body is being smushed by a taxi cab, your head will shoot off.
Well, like a tube of toothpaste. Did you like roll up too much? The
exactly
cap comes off or something.
That physics.
Yeah.
Like a champagne bottle.
We'll have our guest George Marash on the show to explain all this to us.
he could do it, but he couldn't explain how.
No.
He was the worst teacher of all time. He worked for like.
Someone explain this. So
yeah, he was our physics. He was one of the physics teachers in college. He designed like those props, the propellers for nuclear submarines. He like did that shit, but then like he couldn't tell you how like light like. Was it like refracted in water? He like couldn't explain to you how to do
That's
it.
That's why you
like,
can't explain
like,
it right now.
See, you just do the problem, and he would like write it all on the board and answer it, and then he just like had no means of like conveying.
And then sit
that.
Down and
yeah, he'd be like, just do it.
Like,
God damn it! He like couldn't explain it to you. He just couldn't. Man. It was really weird.
There is still something to me, going back to suicide chat. There's still something to me.
Bring
that's,
it.
That's. I mean, maybe I haven't been there for your.
Whoa,
suicide
whoa,
chat,
whoa, Nick.
There's something so abrupt and bizarre about the like full sprint into face first dive down like a flight of stairs where it's like a coin flip where you die or if you just be really hurt. I think
it's
that's
one of the few
incredible.
That's why it's funny.
It's one
like,
of the two yeah. things that I think universally bonds us as friends is the three of us is
suicide.
One shitty wordplay and two suicide is like pretty much always funny like to some extent. Like we had that thing last year. Nick and I lived on this like really nice like skyscraper sort of balcony setup last year, and we were having like a good day one time. We both had like. Our obligations for the day done early. It was like 6 p.m. We were like having some drinks. We just played some Halo, which is fucking sweet. Play Halo.
We were feeling good.
And then Nick was like, what if we just like held hands and jumped off the balcony right now? It would just be baffling to everyone. And of course, like we would make out on the way down.
Yeah, like right
no
before.
No one would see it. But
at, like you guys were on the 20th floor. It. Right at the 10th floor, you'd realize that you were like in love the whole time.
A lot of saying I'm sorry.
And you like, kiss passionately. It's like, we wasted so much time. And then you shove your tongues down each other's throats.
I love you.
And like, you just, like, one of you has just enough time as your legs are crumpling to the ground, like, to grab an ass before, like, your hand and the ass is smushed into the pavement.
And make that South Park noise.
I actually got a chance to reminisce because I'm judging the tryouts for the same extracurricular group that a year ago, roughly today, I was going to try out for, and Glenn was trying to.
This was the one year.
My attempts to put my suit on, so in order to inform me that his balls were showing, which you know I knew they were showing, but
Nick, my balls are showing.
Glenn, that's funny. We talked about this that same event where the balls were out on the Swamp Cast, and I think that was like 10 casts ago, and it was like almost a year ago.
A full calendar.
It's terrible.
Year.
Well, we're actually casting.
We're intentionally not prolific because we're that cool.
Yeah.
We want to be mysterious and unpredictable.
Like Isaac Brock puts out an album every year and a half, and it's fucking terrible. Like,
we're like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to make
You guys?
I was trying to make an analogy for the analogy, and then realized it was completely fucking pointless.
But you should anyway.
Welcome to hell.
It's like how when you start listening to Good News for People Who Love Bad News, you think it sucks, and then you think it's great, and then you think it sucks every year and a half. Is that?
No, I think that album's good.
Is that a thing?
I just think that album's good.
Faggot.
Yeah, I know. See? Oh, God. Wait,
you
wait another 3.5 months, Pete. You'll be singing a different tune.
Wait a minute. It's all coming back to me. I love that album. Fuck.
Yeah, shit.
For 3 months now.
No, sorry, I meant.
It was cool to not like that album when it came out, but it's a good record.
Yep.
And you can all suck my balls.
You were dead before the ship even sank.
That album, on the other hand.
I like that track on that abortion album where like the baby's crying and there's like
Milo's a great song.
It's a really
good
song because you know like birth is a thing.
It really sets the tone for
the baby sounds that come later. I hate that shit in songs where it's like.
So you're not confused. You're like, oh, okay, baby sounds. I get it. I'm sorry.
In songs or poems where it's like. Oh, you think it's all this one thing, and then you realize it's all just a metaphor for another thing. But there's no insight to it. It's just that they wrote a song, which is just sort of an allegory for another thing.
Yeah,
and there's nothing
like dance hall. It's an allegory for dance hall, where you have to dance all day.
I thought that song spoke to you, Glenn, because you just love dancing.
I'm so good at it. I can't help myself.
Okay, dear listener, can you dance? Because, yeah, like... I think we'll
right
share this
dance contest.
Write to dance at pqanic.com.
That would be awesome. No, send us a dance video, please. Please send us your dance video.
We'll put it on the site, and we'll do like super hits. Bob.
You know, K Jong,
Colorado shooter,
is an incredible dancer, and she just
she's super.
She has
artistic
a YouTube
talented.
Channel with like 400 videos of her just doing like weird.
But I think we all share the same sort of outlook on dancing.
Sorry,
weird,
I was talking with my mic. Just like the crazy, like, slinky arm sort of shit dancing.
But
I don't know what you're
popping and locking all over the place.
Unless I'm doing it ironically, I can't dance.
Yeah,
I can't
but you went to, like, acting school and stuff, and you actually had to, like, learn to dance.
Yeah, and I still can't do it. Isn't that the fucked up part?
No, I agree. Because
most people, like, can't do it. I totally understand. It's like you never, like, went... Like, I actually had to learn that shit and had to do it for a class. And it's like, I will still never bust these moves out unless I'm doing it totally ironically.
The idea of just moving silly, I don't know.
It's like, well, it's also that we're, like, not coordinated enough and, like, fucking
maybe you aren't
agile enough. Well, you just said you can't do it, so you can do, like, some moves.
Yeah, that's fine.
But, like...
That's all you need.
How do you
get the ladies.
To get the ladies? How many seconds when you get out on that dance floor? How much fresh dance material you got?
Pete and I actually
What if someone comes up and fucking challenges you to a dance-off while you're out there with your, like, five moves?
I start busting out my moves, then I bust out my knife when they're not looking, and it's, like, the most successful mugging of all time in front of dozens of people. Anyway, Nick was saying.
Oh, I was going to answer Glenn's question about how many girls Pete gets. It was going to be, I was going to end in swimming in pussy. I don't know. That was where I was going with it, but.
Just swimming in it. Diving into it. He's an Olympic dive.
Pete's broadcasting from inside a vagina that he's swimming around in right now.
Guys,
Pete's
guys,
on
guys,
a, one
me,
of those floaty like recliner things in the vagina right now.
I got
now.
Him a pussy snorkel for his birthday. He never uses it, though.
I don't need it.
He's a real man.
Drown.
Real man.
I'm not even swimming anymore. I'm drowning. I'm flailing my arms. The lifeguard is ignoring me because he thinks it's a fake because it's that graphic. And that's what I'm doing in the pussy. But you guys.
I like that there's like a whole ecosystem there. Did you know? Is this like a... Honey, I Shrunk the Kids situation.
Expound.
Or are you dating a giant?
Is that where Rick Moranis like crammed all of his kids into a giant?
No, because like either you're dating a giant, or which is like, I don't know, someone got like blown up real big, like in the sequels that suck terribly. Or you got shrunk down and like got into a vagina. Because I've seen all these fucking fake videos of guys putting their heads in vagina. There's no way you could swim in a vagina unless you were shrunk down. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Or you're dating a giant.
Are
you dating a giant? Are you dating a giant baby?
What I liked about the end of that diatribe and line of reasoning was you ended it with a tone of voice where you were challenging us to argue with you. And I'm not going to argue that a human face can fit in a vagina. I'm just not doing it.
No, the whole head.
Or yeah, like a human adult head. Obviously, most heads come from within them at some point.
Yeah, there's no way.
A baby could drown in there.
Yeah.
Not if they blew it up.
Yeah, which is what I'm saying. Either Pete's dating a giant baby, or he got shrunk down and is in
a
vagina.
That's the thing.
In a baby's vagina.
If the birth isn't going well and the mom's like, save the baby, not me, they have one of those gigantic like laser guns from...
Rick Moranis is there working like a gigantic whole room-size 1980s computer that powers shrinking machine.
Back in our college days, our Sundays, we used to have a challenge called Winning Thanksgiving.
Was that a salad-eating noise?
Yeah, it was like,
salad.
When Tim Allen eats salad, that's the noise he makes. But
men sound like when they eat salad.
That's what I said.
Real men that use tools and stuff.
You are just reiterating what I said.
Sorry, let me say it a couple of different ways.
When Al eats salad,
back in the day when real men were men and they used to eat salad with noises.
Regardless, we had that winning Thanksgiving competition, which I think was over Thanksgiving break when you were at home. If you could have anal sex, you won Thanksgiving. But I think winning Thanksgiving for life is if one of us gets our heads submerged in a vagina.
No, I
should
think it's
death because you should die from it, because that's where the conversation came from. Like you should.
Okay, it's death by vagina head in.
So we're having a suicide. I think suicide pact. It's happening on air.
I think you should have to plug your nose and put duct tape over your mouth, thus you definitely die.
Hold on, baby.
And then it's people like shoving you up there.
See, the problem with that is you say that pretty much regardless of the context. I'll be like getting ready for work, and you'll be like, "Hey, Nick, like plug your nose and put duct tape over your mouth, so you definitely die."
And put one of those like it's time for sleep, like night eye shade things on
that you stole from stole from your like airline trip to France.
Yeah, because I fly first class all the time, I get those things. Yeah,
is that a line from
we
like a
fly
rap song?
All over the place, jet setting Pete.
Been on a plane like four times in my life.
And you have four fucking pairs of eye shades.
And were two of those for Tudor Singers?
Yeah, pretty much.
And it was one for band?
I'm not a travel
Was the
band.
Other one for band?
Pretty much.
No, but you went to like
Florida
a bunch.
You went to Europe too?
Yeah.
Once. All right. Right?
All
right.
I just live with a lot of people who fly a lot, I feel like.
Who?
R. Kelly.
I don't fly a lot.
But more than I have.
I had to think.
Well
about
put,
it.
Well put.
He's right.
That was a nice little that noise too. You made it sound like a kind of like a jet engine slowing down a little bit. Too.
Yeah,
nice.
Something
like a plane.
Something
like a plane.
Pete knows nothing about.
that's a Mike 5 right there.
Glenn's performance art has once again bested us all.
Gack 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 gack, ladies and gentlemen.
You guys, that material's not suitable for the cast.
I thought you were saving it for the cast.
No, I'm not screaming race hate on the cast.
Anymore. I'm going to miss it.
I'm not screaming
race hate. First cast I did?
Yeah.
Remember? Harp noise.
remember?
Guys. So the Olympics are like over, right?
I think
let's hope so.
It turns out the United States and China have more people than everyone else.
You guys, the next Olympics is only 4 years away. I can't wait.
Hey, the Winter Olympics are only 2 years away.
Yeah, aren't they in, like, Russia?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Sweet.
I can't wait for all the like, other athletes who aren't from Russia to, like, go mysteriously missing on their way to the arena.
I can't wait for, like, the brothel in, like, the Olympic Village.
I still can't wait.
They keep winning golds in the AK manufacturing contest. it's only in their Olympics, which I think is really unfair.
In the, like, you have 45 minutes to build a gun and it needs to be able to, like, be thrown in water
and
stuff.
They would be great at it, man, if they just had the time to train, you know, bro?
Yeah, also.
I actually saw an AK-47 fired live a couple weeks ago. Because we got sent to the ballistics lab for...
Did you get to shoot some shit?
Nah.
Why not?
There were like 20 of us on the tour. They're not going to let like 20 fucking law students shoot guns for like an hour.
What if they cared?
They would, but they don't. So they...
Yeah, but what if you wanted to feel like you had... You know, the gun was an extension of your arm. And also, it was like you had a huge cock.
What is that, Glenn? You're
describing you don't know what it feels like.
You're describing the only way
to
get an erection.
Yeah, to shoot guns.
You'll be convicting rape on this next case, so you will all be a rapist.
To defeat a rapist, he's going to have
Oh, yeah.
They have a shot of it.
Peter Nett.
In order to catch an international jewel thief, referencing that.
But, no, it was fucking sweet, though. There was, like, an army ranger there who took us through all the, who now works for the police doing weapons training, and he took us through. We got to hold all of them, but he fired, it's like a 9mm and, like, a 357 Magnum revolver, and then there was a 12-gauge shotgun and an AK-47.
So you basically got to watch him have fun?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Why did like, what is that supposed to teach?
How cool guns are, obviously.
I think it's part of it. All right, there's a lot of things going on. One is that there are some bureaus where interns don't get to do enough work, and they needed to, like, different activities for them to do to take up their time. Like, we had plenty of fucking work to do, so all these things were, like, sort of shit we had to fit in around the shit we had to do.
Yeah, but it's kind of nice to actually see that. But it was, like, cool. I mean, what the guns look, what they do to people.
Yeah, you read a million fact patterns, you get a million things, like, oh, this is what happens. And if you don't know what it's like to be in a room where, or, like, hold the weight of a gun, see it being fired, when you're in a courtroom and the defendant's like, you know, sure, he shot her, but, like, you know, it was the heat of the moment, he wasn't really thinking, blah, blah. To really, like, get a sense of what it means to hold a gun pointed at something and pull the fucking trigger and hear how loud that shit is. I don't know. It really, like, puts things in perspective. It's like, no, he fucking shot a gun at her. Like,
then when you see what, like, a shotgun does to someone, or, like, a .45 when they, like, bring that paper back, it's like, oh, my God, you know exactly what you're fucking doing. You're pointing, like, the thing that, like, makes things die when you, like, hold the sights over, like, it and then pull the trigger.
You see guns in shows and TVs and movies, and they're, like, they're waving them around all the time. You don't get a sense for it. It's like, this thing's, like, a few pounds. Like, you could, I don't know. The pistol whipping happens all the fucking time.
Oh,
giving a perspective for that. Like, we also got to see the guns that were, they had a museum there. We saw the gun that killed John Lennon and the Son of Sam gun.
Sweet.
And apparently they try to, like, you know, museums are always trying to buy them, and they're like, nah. There's, like, a bazooka that someone tried to fire at the UN.
Oh, that's fucking
they
awesome.
They fired it, like, basically from right outside our apartment, like, across the river at the UN, and it fell, like, just short.
Not a bad idea. No, if you're going to do it, that's how you do it.
Oh, that's humanity, like, something you wanted to do.
No. I mean, like that's the best spot to do it. That's where I watched the helicopter crash from.
Oh, yeah.
It's where the...
Do we have helicopter crash chat on this podcast?
I don't know. I think we did.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, island juts out there, like, maybe 25 meters, and then just cuts right back in. It's, like, the perfect vantage. I was thinking more trash barge scenario, you know? Because then
you were thinking about it.
Because then you're up high enough, you know, you hide yourself amongst the garbage, you know, the trash.
And then you
emerge, and you're already 20 feet up in the air, so you're going to have problems with the
more
high
time,
and low.
More time.
Yeah, and then you can aim it up slightly, and then maybe you definitely hit it because it's a huge, tall building. Yeah. But then, aside from that, you could just fucking get off the FDR, unload your bazooka, like, walk out, fire it, and then get back in a fucking car.
Yeah,
how did they catch that guy?
Yeah, did you play GTA? Like, what the fuck is your problem?
No, seriously, how did they catch that dude?
We didn't go into a whole lot of detail, actually.
Damn.
I should have had more follow-up questions.
Especially because it's right outside our apartment. Like, I wish there was, like, paint on the ground
I think
and, like, the picture of the bazooka and stuff.
It was, like, 15, 20 years ago, at least.
How did they catch him, though?
I think someone saw the dude with the bazooka.
No, I know that, but then he runs into a car and drives away, and then what? You know?
I don't know.
Or was he crazy? You know?
Someone sees a license plate. Someone sees who... Yeah, he's probably a fucking lunatic.
He's probably a crazy person.
He's probably trying to, like, reload and shoot again. And then,
Well, I mean, who wouldn't?
Ramirez!
I mean, he missed. You got to try again.
Yeah.
I hope he was, because there's a bunch of people who fish right there. I hope it, like, a bunch of fishermen, like, hooked him and stuff, and like wrapped him up in fishing wire and shit
while singing
and wrestled him to the ground. Yeah,
in late '80s New York City.
And the cops got
there. Gregorian chants, like, we have hooked up the bazooka.
The cops, like, get up there and they have him, like, hooked up, and they're, like, weighing him, and they're about to, like, gut him, and they're like, no, all right, like, please, like, we'll take it from here. Please, like, scary Hispanic fisherman, like, leave that guy alone. You take your shopping cart full of, like, fishing tackle and shit and get the fuck out of here, please.
The ballistics, that whole tour was fucking dope. Like, a lot of the shit we've done, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. They showed us, they have this gigantic 600-gallon water tank, which is where they do most of their testing, because you can actually, like, recover the bullet without it being...
Oh, without it being, like, just that fragmenting.
It slows it down enough. They said that they've had some guns which are strong enough where it just, like, blasts through it anyway.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
They've, like, shot holes in the tank.
I don't doubt it at all.
Which, but I think you'd need, like, a legit... You probably need, like, a Barrett to do that.
You need
shit.
Something...
But the bullets...
Yeah, I bet the 30-caliber Barrett could do it. It's about the velocity, really.
Yeah, because if the bullet's big, isn't it going to be more, like, drag on it?
It doesn't
the water?
Necessarily...
No?
It all depends on, like, what it's being fired out of.
Mm. I don't know.
That Barrett is badass. The 50 cal is fucking terrifying.
And then in Call of Duty, you can shoot someone in the chest with it and have them not die.
But not on hardcore mode, bro. On hardcore mode, you can shoot someone in the foot with a pistol and they die.
Get this. No radar.
Yeah, and there's no heads-up display, so you have no fucking idea what's going on.
So you guys are cooler than me, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
The fifth time, yes.
Jesus Christ, yes.
I'm trying to think if there's any other, like... For the cast, interesting stuff on that. But the ballistics thing was cool.
I mean, you guys, it's not like we talk outside of the cast. So, like, whatever you get, whatever you got on your dome, just spit it out. And then I'm going to go, you know, back to my wing of the underground facility. You know.
Yeah.
Well, I left some things going on in the lab.
In your quarters. They fixed the retinal scanner, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know that was bothering you.
I know, because you guys kept trying to get into my fucking... into my lab, and that's what happens.
Can you believe the sweet hookup on contacts I have, though? Seriously.
Yeah, that was crazy when I heard
1-800-CONTACT.
Angie's list is amazing.
And they could just print out my retinal scan. And
I love you, Angie. Put on sorry, honey, etc.
How come we don't have a list?
Yeah, I want to see what Nick's list would be.
Oh,
seriously,
God.
What would it be? What would your, like, niche...
I don't know, like White Sox and porn, probably?
Yeah, we should start a prostitute review site.
Does that exist?
Probably.
No, it's going to be called Pizza List.
Actually, there is one in England.
Really?
Yeah, because I found out that prostitution was legal in the UK, and I was like, what?
Yeah, that would be hilarious to like write a travel book, but like with prostitute reviews and like rate the different brothels.
Yeah, I read some of those
reviews. It's one of those
fucking creepy as shit.
There were books?
No, not books, but there's like websites where guys.
I mean, you go to like the travel section.
Like,
they have
girl,
like the.
She has a nice apartment, and it's a real like girlfriend experience. I'm like, oh my god, oh my god. Ryan's
that's
laughing.
What we all want when we have a hooker girlfriend.
I just wish I had a girl I could like pay to be like a girlfriend.
Apparently, that's like a lot of it though. Like, it's kind of a weird.
Jane over here
gesticulating.
Jane
wildly.
Pack and Fudge is saying that she is in fact a prostitute. Hey, she gets paid.
I'm dating a very white Anglo girl named Jane Pakenham. She 100%
sorry,
English.
Pakenham, yeah.
She's very English. Small blonde.
No one in her bloodline ever suicide bombed Pearl Harbor. No one.
Long story short, we're going to have
because the bloodline ended there. They
can we have
suicide bomb.
We should get a drop of her of Jane saying try to bomb the harbor.
Oh, that's good. She does a great and she did a great impression of it, and she hadn't even seen the episode yet.
No.
And then, think about how fucking good the impression was after she saw the episode. It was better.
But the impression was really good before she saw the episode. Makes you wonder where she got it from.
I know.
Long story short, we're going to have
yeah, she already had, like, that flight attendant outfit.
We're
going
to have to
weird.
Wait to do an episode 100 for her. It's going to happen. We're going to have to wait.
Oh,
it's going to be really hard for us.
Oh, brutal man. Backstabbing times here on Click It or Take It.
No, I deserve it. That's fucking, like, I
brutal backstabbing times.
Oh, that's...
But seriously, episode 100 coming up! I just went into, like, wrestling mode.
Yeah, I know.
Glenn thinks he has a sweet hookup for us.
Oh, I was just... Okay, this is the text message I received during the cast. Are you working Tuesday? My WWE friend wants to stop in and talk to you before our show.
Excuse me?
Trying to get me and Pete jobs writing for the WWE.
And it was funny because I was like, dude, I'd be so good at that. I watched so much of it. And then Glenn was like...
And Pete was like,
me too. I was like, Glenn Marshall would like to have you believe that he grew up watching WWE. However,
and then I kept trying to talk, and he kept doing. And then he kept doing like interrupting with. It's like, but you know, dude, like we grew up together, and we both watched a lot of fucking.
It is a lot. I was there when the WCW invaded the WWE.
And got better ratings. Yeah,
is nothing.
It's so funny.
And we'll see how we develop our story, our characters in the second act.
Dude, God. Can you imagine writing for a heel or just an evil character?
I don't know why I'm being left out of this, man. You said you're going
to use are in law school and you're like doing all sorts of future magistrate / nobleman shit.
You don't think I would drop out of law school to write for the WWE? Are you fucking high?
Yes.
All right, but usually like, that doesn't compromise your judgment. So
no, I know, but like,
are you high
I am
you
high.
Don't normally consume?
No. Yeah, I'm fucking, you know, the balance, fucking right in the middle.
You're
high
on this
cast. I'm fucking.
You're harshing my mellow, man.
Yeah.
You're coming around here, man. Oh, speaking of which, I just got a new job. I got cut down to five shifts a week. It was fucking terrible. I was in hell for like a long time. Now I only work 4 days a week. And I picked up another job being the delivery guy for Brooklyn Kombucha.
Glenn's job basically looked like the second half of Event Horizon, if you're wondering.
It looks like the early levels in Grand Theft Auto, where it's like, drop off these 15 things that like people you never talk to again, and it doesn't matter, and it's just about you like learning how to drive, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, but I do like 4 or 5 deliveries in Manhattan, Taproom being one of them every once in a while, which is pretty neat. And then, I mean, that's like mostly yoga studios, and like it's not that cool. But then Brooklyn is fucking weird, man.
I'm driving around
that
there.
That place is weird as shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You should see the shit we get at our fucking office.
Ugh. That place is terrifying. And, like, people, like, go there and seem to have a lot of money. There's got to be a lot of I heard a conversation in the elevator at regular work the other day. People are like, every hipster I've met has a fucking trust fund. Like, what is that, man? Is that what it is? Is that why you have all this time to be like artsy and cool? Like someone else is like picking up your fucking tab? That's bullshit.
Where it's like,
that's bullshit.
Well, it's like I saw on Twitter.
Is that why you're biking around everywhere? Because you have all the fucking time in the world, and it's not actually about getting there like expediently. It's about like, because I see like half the people I see in Brooklyn on bikes are just like fat chicks walking them around. They're not like riding the bike.
Yeah,
it's like,
no one's riding the bike.
Would you get to a hill and just fucking quit, princess? Like, what happened? Are you window shopping with the bike? Like, maybe you should have planned ahead if you planned to dawdle around all day. Are you just trying to be seen with the bike? Like, you're fat as fuck, so you're obviously not riding
it. It was cool.
Like, yeah, exactly. I don't understand. It's like I'm selling my car and getting a bike, man. It's like, that's awesome. I'm going to steal it. Fuck you. Like, someone's going to steal it.
There's this point where your reality can be warped such that you don't even realize it. Where, like, this guy, Touré, writes, he's this author who just writes opinion articles on, like, race issues, and he mostly does them about sports. And
race sports?
Yeah, something like that. He wrote an article about how, like, what if Michael Vick were white? And then. He did, and someone really awkwardly photoshopped Michael Vick into being white and like put it on ESPN, and it looked fucking awful. But he on Twitter he wrote, went to Target. Employee asked me if he could help me find anything. I asked him, "Where's your dignity?" or something like that. And it's if only everyone could write opinion articles for ESPN, and the
like,
world would
be a
better place.
Why'd you sell it to the man? Why are you a wage slave? It's like, because like my fucking kids need to eat, and like it's a terrible fucking economy, and
like
I'm working two jobs.
To work as far as like on the grand scheme of things, and
like I don't go home until like 2 a.m. because I have a fucking other gig after this. Like, where do you get a fucking judge of me, you cocksucker?
And what kind of shit would you give him if he didn't have a job at all? Not everyone can can just write about.
You're
like,
right. I should be
articles.
An artist, man. Yeah,
I don't.
You're right. More people should listen to me too, and I'm gonna write about sports and race. It's like whoa. Hold the phone there. Also, I'm really good at writing, better than you. You think he'd be fucking encouraging you and trying to get you out of the fucking Target? I doubt it. Yeah. That guy can go sit on a huge fucking dong. Fuck him.
Yeah, it made me really fucking angry. It's a shitty thing to say and then to go on Twitter and like. First of all, I don't think he fucking did it because that type of person.
No, Also, like, if someone took a swing at you there because you're like attacking their entire like their person, it's like everything you do is shit. Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Like if they hit you, you're a lawyer. Like, I would think that was okay.
I don't think a jury would convict you. But
what if they were as convincing as me?
At least he didn't make like a rape joke.
Yeah, God forbid. That might insult someone.
Oh, man. That might be bad.
But I don't know.
We're going to have to apologize about this cast now. Thanks a lot, Pete.
So isn't it even
all right,
it's
guys,
the right
sorry.
Thing
we
to
just
do.
We stopped the cast there, and whatever the sanctioning comedy
Ryan,
body
play
is.
Play the record stopping drop, please.
Whether he did it or not, isn't even more pathetic that he like bragged about it or lied about it and bragged about it on Twitter? Isn't that fucking weird?
I think it's worse if he actually did it and then wrote about it.
What's even weirder is he's a writer and he somehow thinks that quip is clever.
Or cool. No, he thinks it's cool.
Yeah, I don't...
It's like, what do you have, like, a $45,000 a year gig waiting for this guy? No, like, you don't. Like, do you have fucking options for him? Are you down to, like, sit him down and help him find a job?
You're going to send him to college?
No, you're just going to sit there and fucking, like, make your fucking comments about, like, some guy you know nothing about, which is what you probably write the majority of your articles about other people doing and how insensitive and stupid it is. Go fuck yourself.
Yep.
Seriously, what an asshole.
Yeah, his job is basically, like, whining about... Just whining, I guess, is his deal.
What was the exact, like, tweet? Like, what?
It was, went to Twitter, went to Target. Employee asked me if he could help me find anything. I said, where is your, or, like, can you find me your dignity? Or something like that. Oh. I'm not getting it exactly, but that's base. That's the structure of it, and that's the. That's
Tell me he was.
Hang on, I'm practicing
for
my new job. Hang on. I went to Twitter, and then I went to Target, and while I was on Twitter, I asked, "Where can I find anything?" And he asked me. He had the integrity to ask me, "Where's my dignity?" So I ask you. St. Louis. Where's my dignity?
They all yell it with him.
And then the fireworks go, but some other wrestler enters the ring.
Who challenged him later that night? They fight that night, but then like third party asshole comes in, hits him with the chair. I'm gonna be a millionaire. That's all I have to say.
You'll be disqualified.
This is gonna be ridiculous. It's gonna be so ridiculous.
Will you still remember us when you're the famous WWE writer?
Yes! New York City!
Ladies and gentlemen, this man has lived with me for 2 years, and he asked me on my own podcast
the fucking temerity to bring up to me whether I'm going to be successful in WWE or not, and I tell you what now!
And then mid your tirade, Glenn goes, rickety, 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 and then an explosion happens, and then Rick the Brick comes
out. Yeah, and he interrupts us.
I feel like Rick the
I wish
Brick
we could
look...
Skype him right now and to be like, hold it right there, brother! Like,
yes,
he definitely
iPhone
interrupt
FaceTime.
You.
By the way, I realize the only two practical uses I know for FaceTime now that I have an iPhone, because why the fuck
Oh, God,
call
yes,
someone?
I'm glad you brought up
All
our
right,
new
there
game.
Are two, there are two things that I think I'm going to do, and they both involve Glenn.
Yeah, the new game.
And one of them is I will FaceTime him while I'm shitting, and, like, have, like, my face all red and, like, cleansed. And, just be like, and it's like, oh, it's like, oh, my God, it's Pete. And he's, like, at work, and it's just me shitting, and he has to turn it off immediately. Or the other one is, like, we're in the apartment. I'm like, all right, good night, man. And then I go in, and I start beating off to porn. And then I film myself beating off to porn. He doesn't really know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of, like, keeping up, like, a weird conversation. He's like, yeah, man, I'm, like, in the next room. And then I do that, like, weird flip thing on the iPhone where it flips the camera, and then you see, like, my dick.
No, but you always need to be like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, I'm not good with iPhones. How did this get here?
I hit the wrong button. I'm so sorry.
But hasn't Glenn already seen your ejaculating penis?
Who hasn't?
Yeah, seriously.
Is there anyone? We got a lot of people in the room here. Anyone?
Oh, you haven't seen the ejaculating penis? Say yeah.
Doesn't Eric kind of look like...
Dustin Pedroia? Yes.
I was going to say Sheamus.
Wait.
While we're talking about WWE, doesn't he look kind of like Sheamus?
You guys, I'm really
when
into
we get
the
our,
Miz.
When Glenn and I get our like sweet writing job for WWE, because it's going to happen, you know?
Oh, yeah. This is a layup.
There's a layup.
When the WWE gets a look at us, at us?
I feel like I can't wait for them to like. You set up your big meeting with.
We'll recast.
No. Here we go.
Sheamus too.
This is what happens.
Sheamus too. His younger brother.
They fight at WrestleMania versus.
You set
no,
up.
They need to be on the same team. He's like his corner.
But
man.
Then he like fucks him over.
Oh, yeah,
or
yeah,
Sheamus
and...
is the traitor.
Oh.
And Sheamus too is the pure part. And then hey, he teams up with John Cena versus the Nexus, etc. Anyway,
yeah,
man.
A lot of him right. Toweling John Cena's
this
brow.
This fucking cakewalk.
You know
I'm
the really over the top helpful thing where they're like powdering. And it's like okay, like get away. Like, but it's like,
yeah,
shoot,
it's
yeah.
Like but we are
so
a
let me,
team.
Let me wipe your pits, man. It's like get away from me. Okay.
It's true.
Yes.
I like the idea of you two, like, someone sets up a big meeting for you to meet with the WWE bigwig to, like, pitch your ideas with them. Hold on. And there's two of you guys in Italy. And you're meeting them at, like, Birria. And you've got, like, all your ideas already in your plan. And you're so stoked. And the guy's like, yeah, I got, like, a job. You know, I just want to see if you guys are suitable. But then he comes away, like, really impressed with Crazy James. And Crazy James becomes a new wrestler.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought or you were going to say, like,
we
then, like, Triple H and, like, The Undertaker come in. And we have to, like, wrestle them for the job in the middle of Birria. And they're, like throwing us, like,
and,
the
Glenn,
and,
like,
and it's wrestling them. So it's, like, it's like we actually just like, go
ref,
have a good fight. It's like, but you didn't distract the ref well enough. I really don't like your, like, shit-talking beforehand.
No, I was gonna say Pete.
It's like, no,
the
you
ref,
did
Glenn
distract the ref.
Keg,
you didn't take the opportunity. Like Pete had the ref distracted. Glenn, you really should have taken that time to, you know, hit him with a chair or a table. There's hundreds of them around here.
Your distracting girl was not busty enough.
Seriously, yeah. Like the cans also weren't like spilling out. You know, they really need like
the idea of you running in and smashing someone with a beer keg would be pretty. If your wrestling name was like the bar back. And you like you only you have a move, you're like big move, you get the crowd and you like do like the bottle opener on them or something.
No,
shit
he,
like that.
He like says condescending things about craft beer and it's like, oh god, douche chills, like no. And it like weakens the opponent.
You could definitely smash people with kegs. I don't know, like what
You should get. You should have like some sort of like alcohol thing, and you like put them in a headlock, and you like pour booze in their mouth and like drown them, because they always pretend like those finishing moves are way more lethal than they actually. So you just like pour booze in their face, and they like struggle.
You know, we're actually talking about this earlier today.
And then you have their tag team partner come in like desperately give them CPR while you're like holding your belt up.
The moves with the belt are like by far the most powerful. They all have their own finishing moves, and that usually fucks them up. But like you can like full on punch someone in the face, and they'll be like, oh, they do the like whole body like tremor motion. But if you just, like, sort of just, like, tap them in the face with the belt, like, they'll, like, start bleeding and
that
stuff.
That being said, these are 90s injury moves. I think we need to, like, research up and see what the new, like, potent thing is.
Yeah, maybe like, with, like, social media and, like, wound them with that.
Well, for instance, I want to see someone get hit
in the legs with the belt is what I was talking about today.
I know John Cena has a spinning belt. Does he use the spinner? Is the spinner more powerful than the regular
belt?
Yeah,
does it cut you? Is it like a propeller blade?
Yeah, can he need blood packets? Yeah. I don't...
You guys are out of touch.
If he sat in an office chair and he turned it on, would it, like, blow him back up the ramp if you wanted to exit like
you
that?
You should have dinosaurs in this
business. Oh, dude, I had a great idea for a wrestler's
check
entrance.
In
some sort of
face
swamp
to
guy.
Foursquare on your belt, and then you check them, like their face becomes checked in on Foursquare. And then, like.
It's all very interesting, Nick, but I believe Glenn was talking about swamp guys.
Swamp guy. He comes in one of those, like, swamp boats with the big fan and, like, rides it down the ramp. How fucking awesome would that be?
Yeah, well, let's just bring Stone Cold out of retirement.
Oh, my God, yes. And that's how he, like...
And you can do a cross-promotion with the History Channel because they got that swamp shit.
The fan
and you can, like,
boat,
you can throw gators at people. Like,
let's make Chumlee a heel wrestler.
Oh, my God.
Or an announcer.
No, Chumlee
would
have
appeal
no.
to the white
no,
trash
he would have
crowd.
To interview people. Yeah, have Chumlee be, like,
too intellectual
so when
for
you
him.
Like.
Could, I think he has it in him to be hardcore champion.
They
and then he would pawn the belt, and it would be, like, a weird crossover thing, and it would be really good.
And then Rick would, like, bust his balls and give him a really bad deal on the belt.
And then, like, Old Hoss would bring out the sledgehammer. It's perfect. Old Hoss is a lot like good old JR, too. A lot of parallels between the History Channel
he likes
and
the ladies.
I think the Sci-Fi Channel would now carry SmackDown for some reason.
The Sci-Fi Channel carries SmackDown?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they either have that or Raw, but one of them, Sci-Fi, has it.
Wait a minute. What had SmackDown back in the day? It was UPN?
USA had something, too,
UPN.
Right?
USA had Raw.
USA had Raw.
Okay.
I think
and then
does.
Sunday Night Heat was MTV.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday Night Heat was a very
if we get
and
this
Thursday
job,
night was Celebrity
it's
Jeopardy.
Like we can't. You're going to have to, like, find match. Roommates, though, if we get this gig. Actually, we'll be making enough money. We should just keep this apartment. It'd be swanky as fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, whatever.
I mean, we gotta get you 3 years.
Give me your coattails.
We'd be fucking.
Oh, come on, dude! You guys could cast me as, like, the lawyer who's, like, always ruining everyone's time.
And then you'd actually, like, and then we'd be like, "All right, Nick, get back in the fucking office," and you'd have to, like, do paperwork.
But,
and
like,
shit.
The guy who's always there with, like, the briefcase, and it was like, "I'm gonna take him apart," and I'm just like,
"No, you'd have to do no, but then no, a lot of time they like." The lawyer, you need to be like, all right, like, no, like, you quiet your client down who's a wrestler, and you have to do the talking. They do that a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing.
He's
the,
like,
client.
It's like, my client.
Yeah, you have
Brock
to.
Brock Lesnar.
He's on strike or something.
And so, yeah, but they do that only for, like, usually, like, the big name wrestlers or the up and coming ones who are, like, trying to make, like, a gimmicky
Speaking of
thing.
Which, there was room for that. One of the, when I did my monthly 5-minute stop in on, like, WWE, whatever's on TV, there was one point where Triple H was, like, pinch hitting as commissioner for some reason. And all of the wrestlers were on strike, and they, like, no one would wrestle. And Triple H is like, you know what? If anyone else comes across the picket line, I care about you, the audience. I'm going to wrestle whoever comes in here. And, like, three people come in, and it was like, fuck.
The Miz?
It was like CK Punk.
Was The Miz there?
No. And, like, one other, like, two other dudes. But each one, and, like, Sheamus, and they all, like, took turns being like, listen, Triple H, you and I have never seen eye to eye. But I respect you, and so I'll stand with you. And it was like a heroic, like, who will stand with me, and, like, all these, like, misfits who's like, listen, I'll set our differences aside for the good of the sport. And then they were having, like, a tag team match to rally. It was sort of this weird, grotesque, retarded redneck pair, you know. Tribute to those heartwarming movies where people rally around a hero.
It's like they take all the ones that they like and kind of, like, throw them all together.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, though, if we wrote for a character like Al Snow now, how fucking awesome that would be? Like, he had his gimmicks and shit, but, like, the shit we could make him say would be fucking awesome.
I don't know Al Snow.
Because that would just be like, okay.
He
Al Snow was this dude who had...
All right, picture in WK.
Yeah. But rich,
there you go.
Shredded.
Yeah.
But like NWK, like, with
the introduction to his character, he had this mannequin head that he called
Head.
And his intro song was like,
what does everybody want? We'll go out to this song.
It was like, what does everybody want?
Get on, Ryan.
The crowd was like, hey. Like,
Al Snow right now. I want to hear fingers clicking on the keyboard.
After his, like, he kind of took on to the crowd, people kind of like the insane guy, and then he just became a personality, kind of interviewed people, was just kind of like goofy, like optimistic, MWK-esque. And he kind of ditched the head thing. It was still there, but he wasn't like a crazy person in his persona. Which is funny. You just got to warm their hearts with your, like, opening persona, and they either buy it or they don't, and then you can just parlay it into, like, an announcing gig.
So you got there's got to be room for me as like a weird lawyer character on WWE, right? I mean, that's got to be
room
for everyone.
Lawyer,
WWE.
So, like, seriously,
it shows no prejudice.
It really is the
it's like Obama.
But apparently, you're
really
just you're on the road like 40 something weeks a year.
Well, I mean, yeah, that town's they got to pick up their stakes and move on to the next town
seriously,
down the road.
No, you're in like a different town like every night or like every other night. It's crazy.
And then
they're like, you're not just doing like the big events. Like there are like fucking events like every like they're like 4 or 5 days a week.
Do you guys want to like murder your wives and children and commit suicide at the end?
I haven't done enough steroids yet to turn my brain to shit. But yeah, Ryan, where are we at number wise? Flash me some fingies.
Was it a guess? Do you not know?
I mean, okay. You
he's
can
Al Snow in this number.
What do we want, Ryan?
What does everybody need? Ryan.
I just fucking owned your ass, Ryan.
Oh, I wish we had the drop so we could own Ryan's ass.
Well, we can. It won't be proclaimed by him.
Ryan, you need to learn American Sign Language, and then we need to learn American Sign Language. You can talk to us during the cast with American Sign Language.
Is there Rosetta Stone for that shit?
There'll be like a good like forecast where Ryan knows it and we don't. But it's okay.
Well, that'll cover a calendar year of like, I don't know, 3 months.
Oh. Neil
just
had a sick
your ass, Ryan.
Neil just had a sick burn from the other room that I will try to retell. Should I? Is he more?
Absolutely.
That? Yeah. So you know how we were talking about American. He just said that he needed to use it to talk to his girlfriend that had a speech impediment, Carla, which was great.
Because like she has speech impediment, so she
it
can't
happened
hear anything.
And we all
like,
because good. She can't hear because she. She lisped certain words.
She was like cool about the speech impediment. She was like, yeah, I can't pronounce the letter R. And it's like, nope, you can't. And she was like laughing about it. It was fucking hilarious. Yeah.
I didn't know she had a speech impediment when I met her.
What?
None of us were warned.
Yeah, and she was from Hebron, Connecticut, which pronounced with her voice was Hebwin.
Hebwin.
I just didn't know what she was saying. And everyone's like, you're an asshole.
Yo, because this is how it went down. It was like, oh, hi, I'm Kawa. Like, and Pete's like, oh, it was kind of loud. They were in the basement. And Pete's like, oh, cool, where are you from? She's like, oh, Hebwin. And you're like, what? She's like, Hebwin. And you're like, I'm sorry. Like, and you got like closer, and she's like, Hebwin. And you're like, I still can't. I'm like, she's from fucking Hebron, Connecticut. God damn it.
Oh, fuck. It's contagious.
Oh, God. Oh, you guys. Now I can't talk with my L's and R's.
The worst part was that she was studying library sciences.
Library sciences.
I don't know why she couldn't have studied physics.
Physics. Or yeah, like, that works. Physics
she was
works.
Brave in spite of her disability.
Well, so would that make her a librarian?
A Wybravian.
A Wybravian.
Wybravian.
Librarian. Which also sounds like some sort of fictional country in a fantasy novel. Like a really half-assed fantasy novel.
Librarian.
You Librarians are noted for your strength. Like
with books.
Yeah. The Librarians will come to our aid.
Flaming books.
The Librarians will come to our aid.
They have for centuries. Why would they not?
I'd love it if there were a locked fantasy novel town. That had different nations where they weren't. Each nation didn't just have, like, its own... Oh, everyone just does X. Everyone here is a miner.
Yeah.
Everyone here knows stone.
Everyone knows archery. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they live in a forest, so they all know archery. By the way, aren't woods, like, a really shitty place to shoot arrows?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be, like, plains?
Well, you use them for hunting, but it's not good for developing, like, ranged bow skills.
No.
It'd
all be, like...
Unless you have, like, trees around there that are really fucking good for making bows, and then it does sort of lend itself to that.
But still, like, you got, like, I don't know. Not buying it. Not buying it.
I don't buy fantasy either.
England was covered in forest until they cut it all down.
And made bows out of it.
So it's a progression.
Guys, you know what I like best?
You have to turn all your trees into bows so you can practice in open air.
What I like best about this podcast isn't that we make people laugh. It's that, you know what, I learn.
It's about what you take away from it, you know?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Play this podcast for your children.
This is an information heist, you guys, and you are the burglar.
I mean, we do this for all of you, but really we do it for the children.
No, dude, knowledge is something where even when someone takes something away, it creates more of it.
It's like when you're dragging a file over, and it's like, do you want to just copy it? And you're like, Yes. I would like to copy this information and share it with everyone. All right.
New segment idea for the listeners. I know there's kind of an
LearnCast?
But
non-sequitur.
Send in a word, and we will do shitty wordplay with it for at least a half hour.
I was going to say down. Like 45 minutes, but okay. Yeah.
Well, for instance, Glenn and I were talking about origami and the healing powers of the earth, and we had some good origami.
And we had a 25-minute walk home, and guess what we did the entire way home?
Origami puns.
Yeah.
And they were good.
Yeah.
For us.
This is already getting pretty boring, but we should like do some more puns.
It's weird though, because for all that, when all right, so one of us will get one of us does like a shitty wordplay, and then another person like chimes in, then we'll laugh for a while, and then we'll get silent because like everyone's trying to think of the next one. And that happens.
It's really funny when you take like the next obvious one. It's like, oh, fuck. Like, yeah, god damn it. You got it out like a half a second. As soon as you said it, I like wanted to say it because like, god damn it.
But then you get the weird thing is it gives you this weird skill about being able to make like cram shit into puns.
Yeah. And
most people don't have that. So you'll be always sitting around. Someone will say something. You make a pun over it, and everyone thinks it's fucking hysterical because they don't like do that shit.
And then
so it's great.
By the time they're done laughing, you have like another one fucking ready. It's like, you guys gave me like a bunch of time to think. You fucking idiot.
Yeah. There was a girl trying out for the team today named Troy, and I fucking spent like we all had these like we were all in like a chat room basically to like comment on shit while stuff was going on, and I spent like half of the thing just making like Troy puns, like the whole fucking thing, like base and Troyable and all sorts of shit like that. It was, I mean, you're typing it's different from the audio puns, but that was I was really grateful for you guys for that.
We've gotten to this point where now we'll just
this is gravelly Pete here.
Gravelly Pete. Now we've gotten to this point where we just do the puns, man. And I'm still going to make my point, but I'm just going to do it in this voice.
Go on.
You're going to make your voice more gravelly.
I am.
Your voice will stick that way.
Baritone tone.
It's going to stick, believe me. It sticks like
you do
this.
Enough, it stunts your growth.
Yeah, you just start talking like it. And then it's just the way you talk.
Dude, this podcaster's almost out of battery, I gotta say.
Nick, are you starting to die?
I'm starting to,
Nick's pussing out. You guys, we have an announcement. Nick is a puss. There's some wine there. At least finish your fucking wine like a goddamn
all
human
right.
being.
All right, that'll be the hourglass.
Yeah. Oh, hourglass.
But I noticed now that when we do the puns, though, it's like you have to put it in context. And I think it all started because Nick and I used to do the puns when we first met, and that was like something we connected on.
I love you.
But Glenn and I, senior year of high school, had a trip to Disney World, and we were waiting for Space Mountain in line.
In your face, man.
Glenn was acting completely normal, right?
And I just, yeah, well, Glenn had never really heard, like, just, like, let's do the pun thing because. And we were doing a bunch of them, and then one of them was the name of someone we knew in high school, and I phrased it in the form
of that was
a
the era
phone
of the,
book.
Yeah, I think
and
we
I think
say
I started a revolution.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I said more like, because the whole thing
the
was,
comma.
We were in Space Mountain, it's like more like in your face mountain.
Yeah, and
more
I think
like,
you pushed something into my face, too. It was great.
Yeah, it was good. It had a nice physical kind of accent to
you
it.
You put him in my place mountain.
Yeah, my favorite Coldplay song.
Oh,
is
yeah,
my
we did. Yeah, yeah, we did that. Yeah,
but
that
the context started was like, if I were to look up my favorite friend from high school in the phone book, it would read MacArthur, comma, Chase Mountain.
And that's what kicked off the whole, like, then you could, like, do the comma thing.
It's become a new art form.
Yeah,
and then
we started getting some really long sentences with that.
Like,
show.
Last night, Glenn and I had origami as our
word.
What
was the one I had that was, like, very elaborate?
We had a lot of elaborate.
It was right where we were rounding the corner of that little like.
Yeah, but I had one that was literally. I tried to make it sound like I was trying to talk to you, and I was like, "Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I buy a lot of food while I'm out at work, because I'm working all the time. But you know, if I could just buy groceries and get into the discipline of cooking, you know, I could actually spend more time. But I don't have the discipline to every day go to the store origami. You know."
It's just like, yeah, okay. Like, you try to see, you were like, wait and see where they're going. And there's like twists and turns. It's like a fucking M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Well,
it's
like,
great.
You know, like several podcasts ago, I mean, it was a long time ago, chronologically.
Yeah, like 8 years
not
ago.
But it was only a few podcasts ago. We
were like 14 when we did that.
We could run for more than 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah, no, like six podcasts ago, it was like 1996.
We didn't actually
anyway.
Broadcast it, though, because we all got really drunk. We all started yelling about Game of Thrones. And I think it was right after an episode where they talked a lot about the Lord of Light, you know, Rolorigami.
Yeah,
And you know, now, it's funny, Pete's like, the laugh isn't even dead yet, but where I can see his eyes drift up.
I'm
the
trying
right,
to work
to
how to work deplorable,
one.
Like the deplorigami into there, and like I can't fucking do it, you know? Like, it
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah, you just can't.
You know, it's so funny
can't
though,
because
I was really in the first season of the show. I read the first three books, got right on it, but like I'm in the middle of the fourth book, and now it just feels like a fucking chorigami to read all these things.
Yeah, they're not nearly as good as Swords Stormigami of. Oh, that could have been executed better, but it would have worked.
Yeah, I implore you to try harder next time.
Porygami is my favorite Pokemon.
And oh, yeah, the Porygon one was great. It was like, you know, I just didn't understand why, like, it was the only Pokemon you couldn't buy, and it fucking cost, or you had to buy it. It was like 9,999 things. That fucking Porygami, like, and he sucked, and he didn't have any good moves. Yeah.
Also in Japan, too, you're tying together the origami with the Pokemon.
Yeah, the Orient.
Thematically, it's just, like, very, very strong.
These jokes resonate with me to the Korigami, but
I don't know. I guess
all I need to get to the Korigami is Hot Pockets.
I haven't heard anything that funny since I watched the Korigami.
We're at 54.57 rock.
So you want to try to hit each other in the nuts for like 6 minutes?
Yeah. Mike Rock. Chris Rock.
Chris
He's
Rock?
My favorite comedian.
Oh, what's his name? His brother, I mean, Tony Rock, is now doing stand-up.
What?
And I just think it's so funny. It's like, oh, yeah, his brother, Tony Rock. Like, I don't know why that's so funny.
It is pretty.
He sounds like a porn star. Tony Rock, yeah.
I don't know that he is.
If he looked like Evan, Stone.
He sounds like, actually, he sounds much more like a character from the Jersey Shoregami.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
That's actually how I feel about it, but I could also put the origami thing in it, so.
What's your guys' favorite Antonio Banderas movie?
Oh, right,
trick question.
I'm going to let you
because
go.
Because it's The Mask of Zorogami.
This one slayed me last night. That
really,
was a good
That's really good, but I was hoping that there were another Antonio Banderas movie that also fits. You could, like, misdirect us. Where it's like, oh, he's going to do Zorro, and then...
Desperado-gami?
I don't know.
That could work.
That one ends in O.
I didn't go for
Fuck
it,
you
though.
Guys. That ends in O.
Puss in Boots-agami?
Fucking ends in O, kid.
Shrekagami? I don't fucking know.
Shit.
This is so bad for the cast because now we're all just thinking about
Spy Kids Agami? He was in that. Fuck you. He was in all of them.
I didn't say fuck you. Like,
no,
like,
I know.
Like,
it's
he's
just,
not in it.
It's hilarious. Like, it reacts aggressively and super
No,
defensive.
He's not in it. He wasn't
fuck
in
you.
That.
No, he was in
the
every one.
It was like Shark Girl versus Lava Man Agami.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was,
what the fuck
that
was that?
Was fucking good.
What the fuck was that?
It was in 3D. Agami. Oh.
No, but seriously, was that that was a movie, wasn't it?
What? Ryan, what are you doing right now?
Once Upon a Time in Mexico Origami.
Yeah, yeah. Did not end in O, like Desperado Origami, all right?
Origami ends in Origami.
Yeah, but it's Mexico, all right?
I haven't
it's
been
disgusting.
This happy.
Why did you bring that shit up on the cast?
I haven't been this happy since I was in like second grade, and I just gotten home, and I was playing on the computer. And I was playing my favorite game, Trail Combat Oregon.
Yeah, we did that one last night.
It was covered. Yeah. But Puss in Boots 3.
you cheat, the
three,
some bitch.
The 3 Diablo Origami is going to come out soon, and I've already bought tickets.
Ryan, put the cheating thing away.
I think this is going off the rails.
Yeah, Pete has a writer now. You see this? Yeah, this is going to be
it's
like
one of the many perks of being in the WWE.
You're like the WWE superstar,
go,
and he's your writer.
I could go kinda obscure.
Like,
I could go
like
obscure.
Ryan should be shoving my mouth closed and being like, my client, Pete Mutino Origami, refuses to talk now because
Origami
he will be the
Pete.
Next WWE Intercontinental Champion.
You know, Ryan, where really is Apple based? Cupertino Origami. Yeah, there we go.
No!
That's fucking right. Suck my balls.
I could go really
obscure.
I think only Neil and Ryan are going to get this one, but the only pornography that I can get off to now is Vorigami.
Vor?
Isn't that like, yeah. Vor is a thing, right? Ryan, Google Vor. Explain it. Wikipedia Vor.
Google Vor, and then show.
I remember it's really fucked up.
It's
Vorigami it
times here.
Isn't it like animals like eating things and puking them up, and like that's what like porn
and then
is.
You masturbate? Is that
it? Yeah, basically.
Fucking hot. I'm not.
Vor is something awful. I can't, what? V-O-R-E.
Oh, obviously, Ryan.
All right, Ryan, read the definition.
It's short for vorophilia, fetish in which one fantasizes about being eaten alive eating other creatures.
Oh,
alive.
It's like that dude in Germany who had his dick cut off and cooked up and served to him. And there was a guy in Japan. There's a guy in Japan who did the same thing. He was like, "I'm basically asexual, so come to this party and pay like $20,000 a plate to like eat my cock."
Oh my god.
And my balls.
It's a delicacy.
Yeah, it's fucking gross.
Oh, yeah?
And awesome.
You're going to take that controversial stance?
Yeah.
I think it's normal and healthy and good.
Unless I saw it prepared, I don't think I could eat it. That's what I'm saying. I think that's why it's gross.
How do you like your dick meat? I like it like medium, medium rare.
I like to watch it being cooked. That's how I like it.
You know, it's
like
a tough, it's a surprisingly chewy, tough piece of meat, so you got to really like slow cook it. I mean, Pete's
what do you do, though?
Guy,
do you like cut it? Like, do you chop it down like a fucking carrot and like serve it as calamari? Do you bread it and fry it?
I like
and
it
chop it up little dick rings.
I like it triangles, kind of stacked like a PB&J sandwich you make for a little kid. You do like the diagonal cuts.
Yeah, but it's a dick. How do you do? What do you mean?
Use your imagination, Glenn.
You slice it like I'm talking about, just like chop, 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 chop. Fry it. Throw
keep
it in the front.
Using
bread
the hand
it.
Gestures for
bread
our
it.
Listeners.
You know, chopping. You know, just like. Fucking vegetables.
Reduce the dick. Yeah. Reduce the world.
And then you fucking
replace the word dick
bread
with
it,
cheerleader. You have a smash box hit show.
How else do you fucking prepare dick? Do you like
you butterfly it? You saute it in butter, and then you sell it at your fucking successful store origami, and that's like all you need to know.
You butterfly and saute in butter. You can don't tell me you can't learn anything on the radio, kids.
Oregano or origami? I'll let you be the judge.
This wordplay is making me snoregami. Let's get the fuck out of here.
All right.
Let's run away from the computer.
Hey, it's 2000. Vote Gorigami. I think we're out of here. Click it or ticket. Later.
But seriously, vote for